We're looking at the results from K-State's recent agricultural lender survey, covering a wide expanse of the nation in asking lenders about various things regarding the agricultural economy and their posture as far as lenders supporting that economy. Joining us once again is Christine Wilson, agricultural economist at K-State. She and colleagues were responsible for conducting this survey and pulling all of these massive numbers together that give us an indicator of the state of the lending institution in agriculture. Christine, we covered three of the five categories that the survey entailed, and that included interest rate trends expected, spread over cost of funds as lenders use that measurement, and farm loan volume, and just how readily we're seeing loans going out there right now. We didn't quite get finished with the farm loan volume story before we had to take a break. Need to talk a few moments about operating loan volume, shorter-term operating loans, and that is high on the minds of a great lot of folks as we look to the spring of 2017, for instance, and the availability of credit to producers. What's the thinking there as per the survey?
And that's the area where we see the largest expectations of increases and the largest increase in the most recent term, that the last 3 months, basically. So lenders tell us through the survey that they definitely experienced increases the past 3 months, and that's been consistent over the last four time periods. We've been pretty stable with the amount of increase that we responses that we've had from lenders. And then they expect increases in the next year and then also 2 to 5 years out. Again, needing operating funds to keep the business going, especially these past 3 months with lower liquidity, with what's gone on in the economy, more producers have needed those operating loans.
With a special accent on crop producers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, so we've broken this out, livestock versus crops, and definitely we've expected and have seen that those crop producers have needed the operating loans.
One category that really, Christine, nobody likes to particularly talk about, but it's a reality of the financial state of agriculture, non-performing agricultural loans. You ask lenders what's happening in that arena, do you not?
We do ask lenders about that. And what they've told us is that during the past 3 months, they have seen slight increases in non-performing loans across all of our loan categories. Again, those are our real estate loans, our intermediate loans, and our operating loans. They expect an increase in the short term and the longer term also in those non-performing loans, and again, across all of those categories. Now, I should add that our responses to our survey, especially in the short term, which are the past 3 months, the largest percentage of our lenders actually did not see a change. Mm-hmm. So we've got the largest percent saying, you know, we really didn't see a change. But then we have another percent, the second largest percent, telling us that they did see increases. We didn't have any lenders telling us they saw decreases in non-performing loans. So we're staying the same with some increases over the past 3 months. But then the expectations are we're going to continue to see those increases and non-performing loans as we look out into the future.
And you take this one further then in the survey and you look at this question by the type of agricultural enterprise, really breaking it down into two, and that is by crop, by livestock sector. Do you see this trend bearing out similarly for crop production?
We do, and primarily in the corn and soybeans, and especially in the wheat areas. We don't see it in cotton and in our fruits and vegetables, and we wouldn't expect it as much there, but especially the wheat area and then followed by the corn and soybean area. More non-performing loans are expected in the future.
And it correlates, of course, with the status of the prices for those commodities.
Yes,
I mean, they go hand in glove, naturally.
Absolutely. You know, seeing the decline in prices, even though, you know, we had some good crops, the decline in prices lead us to not having as much liquidity to be able to pay on those loans.
Is the livestock sector a shade better off in this respect as far as the expectation of non-performing loans?
We might say it's a little bit better off, but we still see, especially in that beef area, expectations that there are going to be a lot of non-performing loans you know, we had a number of survey respondents telling us that during this last year, a lot of individuals chose not to send the cattle to sale to keep them themselves for a longer amount of time. And so they're expecting that to have an impact in the coming months.
Yeah, great. A lot of retained ownership on the part of cow-calf producers as well as others. So.
Yes. Yeah. And eventually that's going to catch up in the industry.
The last category of the five we're covering today, well, it's, as you said earlier, the one that seems to garner so much attention compared to the others, and that is the likely land value trends that we'll see. And what we've seen over the past 3 months as per the survey, what did the respondents tell us there, Christine?
The respondents told us that the past 3 months they've again experienced declines in land values, and they've told us that for that three-month period, at least for the last four time periods that we've done the survey. So again, these past 3 months, they've experienced those declines in land values. And really, we had a very small amount of individuals tell us that land values increased, but nothing significant at all. The largest proportion, you know, more than half, almost 60% told us that they saw declines, and then another large number, no change in land values over the last 3 months.
What are their expectations looking ahead? That's as key a question as anything here, though.
And in looking ahead, we have more of them expecting declines to continue than even the past 3 months. So when we look at, you know, if we had 57% of our respondents telling us this past three-month time period they experienced declines in land values, we've got 70% or more of respondents telling us a year out we're expecting declines in land values, and 2 to 5 years out we're expecting declines in land values. And so again, then the second largest category is that no change, with hardly anyone expecting any increase in land values over the next 5 years.
Now, you don't go to the length of breaking this out land type by land type, do you? That's a taller order yet.
No, we only ask overall agricultural land values. We don't break it out by any sort of specific type of land.
But you'd have to say this is in keeping with what other land value surveys are out there by and large.
Definitely. It's consistent with others that are out there.
Yeah. So you take this collectively, all five categories, and come to a conclusion. What is that conclusion as per the condition of the agricultural economy as lenders view it?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we could conclude. And again, you know, we might say, is your glass half full or half empty? You know, from a lender perspective, I think one takeaway that's positive that we can look at is there's going to continue to be demand for loans, and lenders are expecting increases in loans. And so, you know, I think that's at least one of our positives, a positive takeaway. You know, if we want to be a bit more pessimistic, you know, we continue to look at increases in non-performing loans, declines in land values, increases in interest rates. So those all mix those together, make it more challenging situation within the agricultural economy for both lenders and producers and others along the value chain. So hopefully we're able to weather these ups and downs. Typically, producers with good liquidity are able to do just that.
There don't seem to be any alarms being set off as far as credit availability in a big way, though, out of this survey, do they?
No, we're not seeing any alarms that credit won't be available. Credit should be available. It's just for some producers it may be a little bit more challenging of a situation. And with this expectation that interest rates are going to continue to climb, That's going to make a more challenging situation for some. But credit should be available.
Well, this underscores, as we always talk about, continuing that working relationship with your lender. That's imperative anytime, but more so now. And the next survey that you'll conduct will be when, Christine?
We'll conduct the next survey roughly the March time period. And so then we should have some new results in April or May.
That should lend even more perspective on where we stand, for sure. But there are some very intriguing trends going on right now with respect to these five areas in agricultural lending that are highly important to each and every producer and lender out there. Takes a lot of work to pull this together, Christine, so congratulations to you and your associates for going through all the work to gather this information and then put it together in a form for us to absorb. Appreciate your time, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Eric. Happy holidays to you, too.
She's Christine Wilson, agricultural economist at Kansas State University. Once more, a team of economists go through the paces that bring forth this agricultural lenders survey, and it's an important national account on various matters of interest to agricultural producers and their lenders, given the current status of the agricultural economy. Very good information to have in mind. You can find a full write-up on this, by the way, on the agmanager.info website. Again, agmanager.info. It's a great read. Have a look.